it would appear that in this lame duck moment, President Bush is probably spending as much time thinking about his pardons and his sort of end game here in the last weeks of his presidency than anything else. And some of those pardons were announced yesterday. Joining the conversation is Eric Lichtblau, who's a New York Times correspondent who reported on the pardons that were announced yesterday. He's on the line from Washington. Eric, thanks for joining us.
Oh, glad to be here.
What do we make of the names that were announced yesterday? And I want to get Jim Warren's impression of, because pardons are really presidential theater in the last days of an administration. Eric, go ahead.
The story was really about the lack of any big names. There were 14 pardons and two commuted sentences. None of them were high-profile people. These were sort of garden-variety crimes for the most part, drug distribution. There were a couple of unauthorized uses of fertilizers. None of the big names that people have been speculating about. Marion Jones, the Olympic sprinter. Michael Milken, the financier. Duke Cunningham, the convicted congressman, none of those were on the list. And I think it's safe to say, I mean, of course, we have another 2 months before Bush is out of office, that Bush, who has been very sparing in his use of pardons over the last 8 years, is going to end his term that way with no real bangs a la Bill Clinton, who, of course, went out of office with yet another political scandal on his hands by pardoning Mark Rich, the fugitive financier, and his own brother.
But how much of a legacy is it to have staked your claim on the bringing justice to the unauthorized use of fertilizer crisis?
Yeah, you know, I can't imagine Bush likes to talk a lot about his legacy and how he'll be remembered in 50 or 100 years. I can't imagine that he's really thinking about his pardons being a part of that legacy. I think he just assumed that no one be talking about his pardons, and he's doing a pretty good job with that.
Well, it's interesting. In the Holder confirmation, it will be a Clinton pardon that's talked about, not a Bush pardon. How did these names, do you think, how did they even get into the mix? Is this some sort of correcting errors in justice kind of good deed process that the Bush administration has going here?
Well, there's a long-standing process that dates back many, many presidential administrations for petition clemency requests to be made. Anyone who's been either convicted and out of prison or currently serving a sentence can petition the president for use of his constitutional pardon power. And we're at now historic levels in the number of petitions. I think it's currently at about 2,300 from high-profile people like Michael Milken, who I mentioned, to the bulk of them being no names that no one had ever heard of. And there's a whole process that goes through the Justice Department. There's a pardon office. The ones that the Justice Department thinks are worthy of some leniency, they're in their current prison time or having their records pardoned and having certain rights restored, are then forwarded to the White House. To come back to Mark Rich, as we always seem to do in this context, the problem with Eric Holder, who is expected to be named as Attorney General, is that the White House did not go through that normal pardon process.
Right.
They sort of skipped through the whole thing. As far as we know, all the pardons that Bush has done, again, I caution, as far as we know, did go through that normal process with the vetting and recommendations of the Justice Department.
And the process is just voluntary. I mean, the Constitution grants the president complete, total power of pardoning. I notice here, looking through the names, that a backup singer to Carly Simon got pardoned for aiding and abetting in the distribution of cocaine. So interesting.
That was the closest we came
to celebrity.
The closest we came to celebrity was Carly Simon's backup singer.
Well, Eric Lichtblau, New York Times correspondent, thanks for joining us.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.